Many of you know, have heard that 2019 is the 75th year of the existence of this church. 1944 to 2019. Next year, we will be celebrating the story and seeking God for our future. This coming Thursday night, we have a meeting that we really want to invite anyone who wants to come and pray and talk about the future of our church and talk about what God would do among us and in us. Thursday night, to invite you to do that. I'd like to call every person who's a part of our church family, and we're so glad for the visitors that are here today. And as I talk about our future and about spiritual renewal, I'm glad you're here. And if God desires for you to be a part of our church family, we sure want to welcome you. I want to speak pretty directly today to our church family. I believe that this is a good time for spiritual evaluation. I believe that these days that we live in and the culture that we live in and the turmoil going on around us in our education system, our political system, our justice system, and all the things that have gone on here recently and the dynamics and forces that are going on in our world today calls the church to renewal, calls the church to a passion, calls the church to cry out to God to say, God, what do you want to say to us today? What do you want to say in my heart and my life? And what do you want us as a collective people to be in this world today? God, what do you say to me? I believe that we are in a time that's important for spiritual decisions, to challenge people to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and step out on that faith, to trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and to make Jesus Lord of their lives. I believe that it's a time for honesty with God, a time for God's people to be challenged to revival and renewal, a time for God's people to choose once again that the Lord will be the Lord of their house. This morning I want to share with you some of the things that I think and I feel about our church and about our future. 75 years passed. Oh, what a great privilege we have had to be a part of that and to see and to hear of God's presence here and God working in the hearts and the lives of people and challenging them and changing them. 75 years passed, but what about what God wants to do in our future? What about our faith? And more importantly, what about my faith and my future with God? What about your faith and your future with God? No matter how many times you've been to church or been to this church, whether it's a visiting today or we have people who have been here 60, 70 years or so, and no matter how long you have come to this place, I want to challenge you today to be thinking about and to ask God to say to you, what does God want for your life as a Christian, a believer? I feel that the church is at a place of important decision of who we are and who we're going to be. So I want to ask you to join with me in giving careful thought to these days. Careful thought to your faith and what you believe at your core about God and what God wants for your life. We recently finished, 4 or 5 months ago, I should say, a series focused on the book of Daniel and the great stories from Daniel and then the prophecies of Daniel. And we realized that Daniel's place in the Bible is a unique place at a time period toward the end of Old Testament history and a transition time for them. Daniel was a part of those that had been taken captive when the Babylonian army had come to Israel and destroyed Jerusalem and taken back many captives back to Babylon. Daniel was a young boy at that time, and the book of Daniel tells the story of how he lived and grew up in Babylon and that Daniel was so close to God, and so many of the great stories in Daniel show us how a man can be connected to God deeply. That time period is fascinating. Daniel knew that God had said through the prophet Jeremiah that after 70 years, God was going to bring the people back. For 70 years, they would be punished where they were because they had walked away from their faithfulness to God and their fervor for God, and they had abandoned and really become very soft about listening to what God said to them. And God said, for 70 years, you're going to be without my presence with you as it was before. 70 years of exile, 70 years of punishment. He didn't abandon them, but they had gone into exile and they were away for 70 years. And Daniel knew that at the end of 70 years, something was going to happen big. And he talked about it. He knew that God would keep his promise. And so Daniel knew that after 70 years, God was going to then come back to the people in exile and say, okay, you have been in this time of punishment, but now I'm going to allow you to go back, and I'm going to give you another chance, another opportunity. And so as Daniel's life is over, and then we continue on in Old Testament history, we have the story of how God allows the exiles to go back, 40,000 or so of them, and then 40 or 50 years later, another wave that went back. And so the end of the Old Testament, the last few books of the Old Testament are referring to that time period as the people are going back to Jerusalem and they're coming back to seek God's help. Three prophets, especially Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi. I know you've heard their name, or you probably have heard their names, but maybe you've never read their words, or maybe you have recently, but these three, what are called minor prophets, are speaking to the people while they are coming back, and when they get back, and what they say to them about seeking God's Spirit is pretty incredible to me. They speak, all three of them, of renewal and coming back to that closeness with God. I'd like to read from the words, especially of one of those prophets today, Haggai. Almost at the end of the Old Testament, Haggai is a very small book. It's only 2 pages out of the whole Bible, but Haggai has some powerful things in it if you want to read along. I'm going to read from chapter 1, verse 13, and then also a few verses from chapter 2. I'd like to invite you to hear the heart of this prophet who's speaking to the people and calling them to come back. Chapter 1 of Haggai, verse 13 says, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. And then in chapter 2, verse 6, this is what the Lord Almighty says, in a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and the desired of the nations will come. And I will fill this house with my glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. The time period that's described in this short clip that we've read from Haggai is when the exiles are back. Many of them, the first wave, 40, 45,000, come back from Babylon and they've come back to Jerusalem. They've come back after 70 years. A few of them had been alive when the temple was destroyed 70 years earlier, and when they're starting to rebuild the temple, some of them are weeping because they remember all that they had lost and all that they had the possibilities of, but they had ignored and they had not paid attention to important things, and now it had been lost. It was a time of return. The exiles were back. They had been back for a small amount of time, and they had time to get themselves settled back in, and the prophet Haggai observes them as they have come back and what they're focused on and all those things. This is a time of the time of exile is over. They had been living as foreigners in Babylon, but now they've come home to their homeland, to their ancestral lands. Some of them were old enough to remember what had been lost, but mostly they realized that they had lost their closeness to God. And now uniquely in that time and that opportunity, the prophets are calling them back to be close to God again. To remember that there's a God, a mighty God of love that's reaching out to them. And so the prophet Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi are calling them to be close to God again. To be hungry for God's presence again. So hungry for God's presence that the things that are distracting them, they are willing and able to set aside. They're also coming back with the excitement and the joy of rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. And many of them associate the temple in Jerusalem as that point or that place when they will be able to come back and then sense the glory and the presence of God again that we read about in verse 8 and verse 9 of chapter 2. They are hungering for the glory of God. They are hungering for something that can't be described in physical terms. They're hungering for a sense of the reality of God in their lives. The prophet is calling them to call out to God and say, God, I don't want to just go through religious motions. I'm afraid sometimes when we're around religion a lot, we can fall into those patterns. We may go to church because we're used to doing that. We may have certain habits we do because we're used to it, and yet we find that it falls far short of sensing the glory and the presence of God. The prophets are calling God's people to be hungry for the presence of God again. That God is not just someone on the shelf of life, but God is important to them. For many of them, it was a time of evaluating again, choosing priorities. It's a time of change for them. A lot of questions. It was a time, Haggai says, that you have an opportunity to find something again. There's a time of sifting, a time of sorting. And boy, I had to make some decisions. They had to make some choices. And Haggai knew that. And Zechariah, all of them knew that if the people were going to find the presence of God again as they once had, they were going to have to make some decisions. Would they seek God or not? Would they be hungry for God or not? Haggai knew that there were two different paths. Some of them would walk toward God, find that heartbeat of God again, and others would be so trapped up with all the stuff of life that they would lose out on being close and in the presence and the heart of God. There were quite a few issues that they had and sins that they had, and the prophet describes many of them, and I want to speak about three of them today, three from the book of Haggai. The first sin that we wrestle with as far as how that was interpreted then is it was the sin of intermarriage. The young people, the Jewish people, were marrying people from other faiths who worshipped other gods. As they did so, any connection at all to Yahweh was being choked out of the lives of the people. They no longer understood the God of Israel, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And as they married people from other religions and other faith groups, they were just being drawn further and further away from the heart of God. Other gods, worshiping of gods and idols and others. And it was such a watering down in Jerusalem. And so the prophets are crying out, especially Ezra, who, another part of the story, but not our part today, cried out about that and the intermarriage. And it wasn't about racism. It was about honoring God and holding on to what we believe about God and holding on to worshiping and listening to Him. What does that have to say to us? You might think in 2019, is that an issue today? Well, honestly, yes, who you marry and your choice about who you marry is so important. Young people, choosing the person that God has for you is so important. As if you choose someone who does not have a heart seeking God, then you will be drawn away from your faith in Him. You know, and we all know people in our lives who have chosen to marry outside of that principle of choosing someone who loves God and has a faith that's consistent with loving God. And very rarely are people drawn to God when they do that. It happens. There's some people who have come to faith in Christ through a spouse who was a believer, but more often than not, far more often than that, it doesn't happen. The Bible talks about marrying somebody that's not a believer, and I know it's a heavy subject. I know that sometimes that brings challenges to us, but I just want to say to you, God loves you so much. He doesn't want you to be linked for your life with someone that dishonors Him and draws you away from that relationship with Him. And so is it practical in 2019? Yes. Was it a problem in Haggai's day? Absolutely. So that's one of the things that he talks about. But it's not just marrying people that's on my mind today about this part of the scripture. It is important about who we marry. But this problem was not just about the importance of marriage and who you choose. It was also about what you choose for your life and what influences you allow in your life and what it is that you put your mind and your heart on and you focus on, because if you're not focused on the things of God, it will draw you away from God. It's also about what you choose. What worldview will you choose? What will you believe about God and about the future? What does God say to you? And do you choose to listen to that voice, or do you choose to listen to other voices, the voices that are out there in politics, in the education system, in the disrespect for authority, in entertainment that dishonors God and dishonors everything that the Bible says about right and wrong and truth and marriage and sexuality? And what do you choose to listen to? You see, there's an intermarrying of culture too that's a part of the world today. And I believe the warning from Haggai is so true about that. Don't be intermarried with the world. Don't be intermarried with the junk and the lies of Satan that will destroy your heart spiritually. And so we are warned, Haggai warns about being careful about that. I would say today that we need to be very concerned about the gutter of immorality around us and that self-centeredness that's a part of saying it's all about me instead of I want to hear from God's Spirit and I want to respond to God. The intermarrying of culture. The second call from Haggai is about our time and priorities. I see it in the area, our hobbies and our pleasures, our focus. Chapter 1, verse 4 says, "Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in paneled houses while this house remains a ruin?" What Haggai was saying, the people came back and they're very concerned about their security and building their own houses, and they were neglecting the house of the Lord. They were neglecting building it and getting it built and ready for worship, and they had fallen into the habits of wanting to have everything for themselves, and so they were building nice houses, and they were thinking about their own possessions and their own time and everything that they had, and they had really forgotten about a passion for God, and that was just slowly sucking out their relationship with God. The pleasures. Chapter 1, verse 4. Is it time? The people returning had been focused on a lot of their own things and neglecting the priority of God. Another thing that Haggai or the other prophets talk about is the Sabbath and how the people had forgotten the Sabbath. And whether it was slowly or all of a sudden, they had just been drawn away. They had marginalized the priorities that God had for them. They had marginalized the Sabbath. The Sabbath to them was just, maybe they had some religious observances they did, but really the Sabbath itself did not have for them the meaning that God intended the Sabbath to have. It was just another day and another time, and they missed out. And many of the prophets talked about the Sabbath and how when the Sabbath is neglected, then we are drawn away from the heart of God. And is that not true today? Whether you're a Christian, a believer, or what you are, is it not true today? When Sabbath becomes like every other day, where is God? He's drawn out. It's like the opening of a window and the warm air is drawn out. When we don't understand and sense what's important to God. The temple also had been marginalized, as verse 4 says. Importance had been diminished. And as it was, God became more of a memory than a passion. God became more of a memory than a passion. He became more of a story of the past than the story of the future. And what they remembered about what they had lost and long ago, that was more than their hopes for the connection to God in the future. So Haggai reminds them, is it time for you yourselves to be living in paneled houses and neglecting the house of God? Haggai says, give careful thought. In fact, several times in the book of Haggai, we read those words, give careful thought. So I just ask you this morning to give careful thought about some things in your heart spiritually with God. What about 2019? Do we care more about our leisure time and our hobbies and our paneled houses and our fun and our pleasures than we do about God? Do we spend a lot more time thinking about the fun things that we're going to do and all the things that we want to do and would be great to do? And we have neglected God. That's the story back there. And I don't think it's that far from the church today. And so, church, what does God say to you about the rightful place in your heart and your life? God was becoming more and more distant back there. And I don't want that to be the case here in my life, in your life. One more item. Prophet Malachi specifically spoke out about, and there's several. I chose these three about the tithe. He says, will a man rob God? Here are these religious people who had some semblance of knowing what God said to them, knowing the truth about intermarrying and about worshiping other gods and about their priorities and their things that they wanted to do with their time and neglecting the things of God. And here another one, Malachi says, will you rob God? Do you think God will be close to you when you are not doing what you know you're supposed to do, what God has said? Malachi says, test me in this and see if I will not open the doors of heaven. It's not that God has to have our money for his kingdom to flourish. It's he has to have us. When we say, you can have some of me, God, but not all, it's like the wind just being sucked out of the window. The air being pulled out from connection to God. So, Malachi says, don't expect to be close to God when you hold back what you know God asks of you. These three, our affections, our affections. What do we give our heart to? What do we give our beliefs to? What are we going to embrace and say, this is what I believe and who I am and what I want to be? Our priorities, our time, our possessions. In them, is God honored? Or is he more distant? Or is he at a place in our lives and we wonder, where is God? And we're not sure why, but it may reside in one of these three or others that are found in these prophets. I'm wondering this morning about the call of God to give thought. I mentioned a few minutes ago that several times in the book of Haggai we have those words, give thought. Three times, actually, Haggai uses that term. Come and give careful thought to what I have said to you. In chapter 2, verse 18, if you want to follow along, one more thing there. Chapter 2, verse 18 says, from this day on, from the 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. I just want to say today from Haggai chapter 2, I want to challenge you to give some careful thought to who you are spiritually and what God says to you. Give careful thought. One more picture quickly, and that is a term that's found in chapter 1, and that is the stirring up. God was stirring his people. He was beginning to churn them through the prophet Haggai, and he's churning them, he's stirring them. Chapter 1, verse 13 says, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Then the last half of that verse is what has been on my mind and in my heart and gotten my attention for some time. It says, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. It's not just that God wants to stir the king or the president or the governor or the pastor or somebody else out there. God wants to stir you and me, the people, the whole remnant of the people. I believe God wants to stir us. I believe that there's a time to be stirred, a time to quiet down. There's a time to be stirred. And I wonder if there's anybody else in this church family that feels like there's a time for a stirring. It's a time to say, Holy Spirit, come and speak to my heart and my life. And a time for a stirring. God was stirring his people. What does God say to you? What does God say to me? What does God say to us? Are you willing to be stirred? Are you willing to say, God, I'm going to give you a chance to speak to my heart and my life. I'm going to let you look at those priorities and those things that can trip me up. God, I'm willing for you to stir me today. I want to invite you this morning as we pray together. We're going to receive communion. In just a moment, I'm going to ask our ushers to come and then I'm going to ask you to stand. And we practice in our church open communion. Don't need to be a member of this church to receive communion, but someone who has asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart. And today you say, I want to be a Christian and follow you. If that's the case, I want to invite you to receive Holy Communion. I want to invite you this morning to a time of asking God to look in your heart, to look in your life. Ask God to stir you. Ask God to say to you whatever God wants to say in your heart and your life. Could I ask our communion servers if you would come? There's going to be two on each side, one with the bread and the juice. And then you, when I invite you to stand, to come, go ahead, would you stand with me? I can invite you to come out the center aisle and to the front, and you can go either to the right or the left and partake of the bread and the juice. If you'd like to stand for a moment and pray here, you can, or go back to your seat.